originally I want to pray. Preach on this, but when I look at it, I was just too emotional. I said, God, let me avoid this for now. So if you have your Bible with you, let's look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 to 12. Like Reverend West Sutton was saying that if you're a black preacher and you haven't read the Bible, that means the preaching hasn't started. So don't time me yet until I finish reading it. James, we welcome you back. I like your beard. Can we project the reading for us, please? Thank you. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1 to 12. It says, But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in their ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain has stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month. And on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But a dove could not find no place to set its feet because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited seven more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited seven more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. Amen. But this time it did not return to him. Because the reading that we had was from New International Version, but as I'll be speaking, I'll be going in and out of that version, but more so with King James Version, New King James Version. Please follow me. Today I want to talk about the subject, the dove is looking for somewhere to settle. The dove is looking for somewhere to land. The dove is the Holy Spirit. It's the dove of peace that God sends. And that dove is looking for somewhere to settle. And the question is, are you ready for the dove to settle on you? God is interested in people and their salvation. God's passion and purpose for man is to have a relationship with you. This relationship is called intimacy. God wants to have an intimacy with you. We knew that Adam and Eve just had it so good, so they roamed away from God's presence and ended up in trouble. And sometimes we have it so good, and when we have it so good, we decide to roam away from God's presence. I've seen many Christians who have prayed so much, oh God, give me that job, and God gives them that job. And when they get that job, they get so busy with the job, they find it so good. So much money. And then God, they roam away from him. Some pray, oh God, give me a child. Oh God, give me a child. And they get a child and then they move away. Oh God, give me money to buy a house. And they buy a house and they forget that they are serving in the church. And then they buy the house somewhere in maybe wherever. Tell me somewhere which is far. Liverpool. Yeah, Liverpool is far. Maybe the Shetland Islands somewhere. Lerwick or somewhere. And they forget that they have something to do. They don't even make no arrangement and they go. They roam away. And they go then they realize that, ash, when they were here, they might have been under a spiritual covering and God was with them. They literally uproot themselves from God's presence and from their purpose without even asking God, where you want me to go? And then they just go and land themselves somewhere. Soon they realize that they don't even go to church no more. They're not praying no more. And the dove has nowhere to land. God wants to have intimacy with us. Why? For our benefit. And one person that I can recall in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, the Bible said, and Enoch walked with God, and it was not, for God took him. The guy was so close to God that he walked with God. Imagine, in case you are trying to imagine it, imagine somebody in love and walking with his or her lover on the streets on a summer afternoon, or even on winter Sunday afternoon. Or imagine a parent walking with their kids. Or imagine some of you have dogs, isn't it? How many people have dogs here? Yes. William has a dog. And you take your dog for a walk. You know what? The dog loves it so much. If it could talk, it could tell it, I appreciate you, Will. Just to take me out of this heat so that I can walk. The moment you let them out, they're just so free. Isn't that right? That relationship God wants to have with you because it is for your benefit. The dog will stop bothering you at home. Will be free. And of course, it is for your benefit. And I believe there was a place Enoch found for himself to meet with God. Enoch sought the presence an encounter with God daily. And he took that as a daily priority. That God, I want to be in that place. Unlike Adam and Eve who went away from that place. I want to be in that place so that I can be with you daily. So that I can have that encounter with you as a daily priority. In doing so, Enoch had communion with God. That means he had fellowship with God. He had fellowship with God. And unless you begin to walk with God, then God cannot take you. Because when you walk with God at every moment, he is with you and he will carry you and he will protect you and he will guide you. The job that you're giving all your soul to, he will make sure that he protects it for you, because when it goes out of your hand, you are jobless. And the money you're going to get from the state is not big enough to pay that big mortgage or to pay for that high purchase or to pay for those holidays. I just want you to understand that when Enoch walked with God, God enjoyed that fellowship so much that God said, you know what, Enoch? I don't want to leave you here. If you're ready to die, I'm going to take you with me. So he was not. And God's word is so true that a time will come that we will be walking on the face of this earth and we will be not, because God will take us. But God will take those who are having fellowship with him. Do you understand that? In case you don't believe it, when you read Matthew chapter 25, you understand the parable of the 10 virgins. 10 were called. And somewhere along the line, 10 kept the fire burning. They were connecting with God. 5 were connecting with God, but the other 5 did not. So when the bridegroom came, guess what? They were not ready. So they couldn't be invited in there. Jesus was telling a parable. A parable is not an event which actually happened, but then it is an event that Jesus Christ will take everyday stories, occurrences of what we know, to tell a story so that it will draw you into the story. That once you come to understand that story, at the end of the day, you make adjustment for your lives. That is a parable. That is why he keeps on saying the kingdom of God is like. Because he had to help you to understand. Now, there's another man who really also walked with God that I really like. His name is Ezra. We have an Ezra in this church, right? Yes. Ezra, he will grow to be a good man. Yes. In case you think he's a bad boy, he's not. He's a good guy. Yes. Amen. Yes. Speak good things over kids and so they'll grow up to be good. See, we're looking at Ezra chapter 7, verse 6 and 10. He said, this, remember the word is, this Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked for the hand of the Lord, his God, was with him. You see, the guy, he said, this Ezra, that means you are trying to tell that this, I can see somebody. I can put a name to that person. I can put a face to that person. He came from Babylon. They had to give his history for you to understand that he is a real person and not an imaginary soul. And he also, he was a teacher well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked for the hand of the Lord was with him. You see, because he was well versed, he took the word of God seriously, and handled it properly, and he did that, God did something. Let me read verse 10, and I'll read from New King James Version for you to see. Verse 10, please. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of God, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. So he not only was schooled in it, but he had devoted himself to study the word of God and observe it. That means obey it. And he would teach others. He would teach his children. He would teach his family. Then he taught the whole community and he taught the whole nation so that they can also know it and observe it because he devoted himself. And it is for that reason that the hand of the Lord was upon him. Let me read from New King James so that you can hear another translation, but it's similar. So that this Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher and well versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statute and ordinance in Israel. He had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. And this morning, I just want to encourage you that whether you are looking at Enoch or you are looking at Ezra, what you have to do is to prepare your heart to seek the law of the Lord and do it. And teach it to your children, teach it to your friends, teach it wherever you go, proclaim it. And when you do that, the hand of the Lord will be upon you. And Ezra got everything that he wanted because he was going back to Israel. Babylon was in Persia. Babylon was in Babylon, right? The city was called Babylon and the empire was called Babylon. The Israelites were in a captivity for 70 years. And this man, who's a man of God, that time they didn't believe in God, so they couldn't care less whether you're a man of God or not. But what made him stand out, it was his dedication, his opening of his heart to want to learn the word of God, to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. And for that reason, God's presence, God's anointing, God's favor is upon him. These days, many people want favor, but they don't want to, devote their heart to seek God and his law and obey it and do it and teach others. How can you have favor? And the only person who has favor is the pastor, and the rest don't have favor. You pray, you don't get the result. You know why? The pastor probably knows what to do, that he will devote himself to the law of the Lord and keep it and do it. But then you don't know. He come and just motivate you and you're all excited about it. Favor, and no favor comes upon you because you haven't devoted yourself to the law of God. Amen. I'm sure some of you will recognize that We are in Ezra in our daily devotions. In case you are reading it, that is exactly where you find these things. But it came from the Bible. Amen. The flood came for a reason. I just brought these two people to stand you out to know that when you devote yourself to walk with God, that is in prayer, find that place, that daily, place of encounter, then you get the goodness of God coming to you. So Enoch found the goodness of God in his life, and Ezra found the goodness of God in his life. But the flood came for a reason, because people in Noah's time chose a different pathway from people like Ezra and people like Noah. Of course, Ezra came many, many years after, Noah's time. The reason why the flood came was because people would not walk in total submission, right? Total submission to the word of the Lord. You see, when you open your heart for the word of God to seek it and to do it, that means you are applying in your life and you're saying, I'm totally committed and submitted. You're not going to argue with God. That is submission, right? And you're going to believe him enough to dare him on his word, and he will honor his word, because my word will not go without accomplishing the purpose for which it's been sent. All things will pass away, but my word will never pass away. The word of God will always be there. The flood came because of demonic activities. Hear that. Demonic activities were the sons of men. If you open to Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, we will read it for ourselves and see. Some of you don't believe these things, but I want you to tell them in the last 6 months some of the things that I've seen, beautiful people, amazing people walking around, and what the enemy is doing to mess them about in this church, outside this church. And I'm thinking, God, you've put so much compassion in my heart. I never knew. If I knew, I wouldn't be so upset with this XYZ. I wouldn't be probably thinking, oh, that person. We all do that, don't we? Right? But then you don't know what they're going through. Sometimes they themselves don't know what they are going through. But the flood came for that reason. And Jesus Christ tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that I've come so that I can destroy the works of the evil one. That's one of the reasons why Jesus Christ came. Shall we read that? Is it up, please? Genesis chapter 6, verse 1-4. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fairer, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the land in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now, let me explain this. You can read another translation that will make it easier. You see, when we talk about the sons of God, we are talking about angelic beings who were fallen angels who operate on the face of this earth and the universe. And these fallen angels, in simple language, we call them demons and agents of Satan. They roam this world. And as they roam this world, they look at the daughters of men. That means you and me. And these people are persons without bodies. You understand that? They are mighty. I told you that angels are not little kids like me. They are mighty. Sometimes our vision about angels are like, oh, that's a little angel like maybe Clint's son when he was about 2 with wings behind him flapping. Angels are mighty things, bigger things. You're reading it for yourself. They are mighty men. They are giant. They are the sons of men. And they realize that they want to intermarry with people over this earth. And the previous verse said, and the people didn't even know what they were doing. by these who are doing that. And God knows that, you see, persons without bodies and persons with bodies should not mate, should not do things together. They should not bond together. And God's heart was grieved that there was so much wickedness on this earth that God said, I'm going to destroy this world because of that. Because that's the ultimate rebellion of the enemy. They've already rebelled against God. And now when they come on the face of this earth, then they want to destroy creation, what God has made. They want to destroy human beings. And a lot of people are walking and being destroyed by things they don't see. And they have no idea that it is happening. Are you following so far? The flood came because of demonic activity with the sons of men. Demonic oppression going on, which the people either overlooked or more likely did not understand the implications and the reasons behind their behavior. I'd like you to pick up, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and I'll pick it up from the Living Bible again for us to pick it up and see exactly what it says. It says, for we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. What we're dealing with is not little. Huge numbers. Wicked spirits that we're dealing with. Right, that's the New International Version that you are looking at. But I was looking at the Living Bible translation. It makes it a little bit easier for us to understand. So, somehow along the line, the flood came and the people did not understand. That is why Jesus Christ, when he quoted Isaiah 61, he said, the Spirit of the living God is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the good news, to set free those who are oppressed. See, these spirits without bodies or persons without bodies bring oppression, depression, and everything that you can think about. It influences people's behavior. It messes up people's destiny. And people don't even know what has hit them. It moves people into all sorts of unnecessary things and they do not understand. And what they were doing in Genesis, there's some two wicked bunch of spirit, incubus and succubus. An incubus is a spirit that sometimes you sleep and you had a dream, and in your dream you feel that you are having, some sexual relationship with somebody. It's a spirit that is dealing with you right now. And you got to get up and rebuke it in Jesus' name, because they are introducing you to immorality. And you can't get out of it so easily. If it is succubus, it's the female version of incubus. They do the same thing. You may be having a dream and you feel that, somebody is giving you something to eat, food to eat. Some of you like eating so much that you go to bed and you are dreaming these things. This is a spirit of witchcraft. They're putting something in you. And as you eat and eat and eat, you give them chance. You become like you give them the remote control in their hands. And they control your destiny. They control your future. They control where you're going. One day, either myself or Irene will preach about dreams here in this church. And we'll give you a Bible scripture for you to understand in case you're thinking, I'm going off my head. These are things that is happening, and some of you don't believe it. If you don't believe it, I believe it because I've seen it. The last 6 months, the way I've dealt with demons in people, in Christians, and cast them out and rule them out and seen them manifesting themselves physically, but in their spirit, some of the things that they're doing to people, what I have seen, you cannot tell me that it is not true. People from outside come and they want deliverance in this church. And Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the evil one. So I thought to just to throw this one in for you. And please, I know you guys are timing me. Give me a little bit of time. Maybe blame Bramo. So all what I'm saying is that, guys, I want to progress this message a little bit because, next week I want to talk about Halloween. And that is a serious subject as this one is. So, the floods came because people chose not to walk with God, but to only enjoy what God has given them on earth. Their personal enjoyment was priority for them. Let's look at what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39. Matthew 24, 37 to 39. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood came, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah went into the ark. And they knew nothing. I think I didn't read well. Bring verse 38 back for me. For the days of Noah before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the end of the coming of the Son of Man. My brothers, my sisters, this morning, I just want you to know that people who choose to walk in their personal enjoyment, and that is their priority. Sometimes you have to wake up early to pray. That's a sacrifice. You don't know what God is telling you. This morning, my wife and I both woke up around 2 a.m. We were just praying and praying and praying. I don't know what time. I mean, you came back to the room, but about 5 or thereabout, and I felt I should pray some more. And I was praying and praying and praying until about, I mean, 6:15. And suddenly, I entered into a trance, and what I saw was as if we were coming from a conference, and she said she's going to pick up a prescription up the road, and I said, okay, let me go and get a car and meet up with you. Then suddenly, I saw somebody driving a car, really trying to kill me on the road. I'm thinking, that is interesting. So I decided to leave the road and use a pavement. And I was trying to avoid this vehicle. Then as I got to a place that I thought, oh, I'm so safe, I saw this car again reversing quickly to me. And I changed my course. But having changed my course, I saw a bunch of people. Probably they were blind guys. I mean, this country, we don't see it that much. But in third world countries, when people are blind, you see someone holding a stick and a bunch of them following, right? And the guy who was with this bunch, about half a dozen of them, one looked at me and said, oh, where is, asked me a question about somewhere in English, right? Because I wasn't expecting the person to speak English. So the person spoke English, and I also answered, so I actually don't live here. I'm a foreigner. I'm just coming from my vehicle. Then just before I finished, answering the question, I saw these blind people suddenly just came around me. Everybody was putting their hand in my pocket. Everywhere. And I'm thinking, why can't I shove them away? And I'm thinking, having so much compassion. So they're only blind. Then I realized that they're not just only blind, but you are dealing with something spiritual. That is when I became violent in the spirit. Then I came back to myself and I'm thinking, wow. You see, sometimes the enemy wants to steal something from you. And you're not even aware because you are so nice. Because you are so busy. Sometimes the enemy wants to kill. I know that I'm a threat to the enemy, so if he can kill me, he will, but he can't. Because I have authority to cast out demons. I have authority to put them to flight. I have authority over every spirit of Freemason. I have authority to challenge that. And we take authority in this community, even as we do prayer work in the early hours of the day, because we want people in this place to live in peace. We are changing the community. We said nobody should break into anybody's car. Nobody's house should be broken into. Let them enjoy what they've got. That is the peace that we are bringing into this community. Not too long ago, people were being killed on this street. Houses were being broken into. Drugs and other things were happening. It is not happening right now. Occasionally, we hear something, and when we hear it, we make it a prayer point, and we deal with that. So, this was what happening. But in the midst of all these things that these people did, God's salvation was so true. That in the midst of all this, God's salvation is so sure. Noah and his sons and his family were saved because of righteousness. Noah chose to be in right standing with God. So somehow along that, I want to tell you that if you choose to be in right standing with God, it doesn't matter what is going around you. It doesn't matter when everything is scary. Sometimes when I listen to Brexit news, I feel so frustrated, so scared. I just think like going to find who my MP is, and if I can crush his head or something like that, I wouldn't do that physically. But I'm just thinking, for God's sake, sort something out and let us live in peace and stop all this, uncertainty and everything. Because remember, I'm a finance person. So these things matters, right? And your job matters. Your future matters. Our island is going to be here. It's not going to vanish. We're still going to be British. But something needs to happen. But you have the power to change the destiny. And God's salvation means that God will save us in the midst of everything that is going around us. Once you enter the ark, once you've given your life to Christ, once you put your trust in Jesus, he will save you in spite of the turbulence around you, in spite of the storm that is bruising, flowing around, in spite of the pain and the death, the pain and anguish of death, in spite of the abandonment and sometimes, craving for love and all the things that we see that we don't have, like Rebecca, somehow God makes it right for you. Is that okay? In spite of that, God comes for you. The challenge, however, is most people do not die straight away after they accept Jesus into their lives, but continue to live normal lives here on earth for some time, which is a reality, isn't it? So if that is the case, then we are here for a reason. God did not take us soon after we've given our life to Christ and left us here for a reason. And the reason is that God wants his dove of peace to come upon our lives. From here on, the dove, which signifies the Holy Spirit, must find somewhere to settle or land to bring the peace of God into your life. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 8 to 9, because these are some of the readings that we have, and I'll read very quickly before they put it up. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her feet, and she returned into the ark to him, meaning Noah. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and drew her into the ark to himself. Now, Apostle Bill Johnson from Bethel Church and Ministries said this. He said, when the Holy Spirit is sent out from God and find nowhere to settle, it will return to the Father who sent him. You understand that? God is willing. God is ready. Because he knows that when he sends the Holy Spirit into your life, he is the Prince of Peace and is going to bring peace into your difficult situation. He's going to bring peace, comfort, and strength when you are in the midst of distress. He's going to bring peace to settle the turbulence in your life. He's going to bring peace to settle the confusion in your life. He is willing to do that, but a dove is out looking for somewhere to land. But if he finds nowhere to land, it will return back to him who sent it out. And a lot of Christians fail to open themselves up for the Holy Spirit to come and settle with them. And today I am encouraging you. We need God's peace in our lives. The dove that represents the Holy Spirit is flying to find someone to settle on and not to return to the sender, the Father. And I remember when we read Luke chapter 3, verse 12 to 13, Jesus Christ, after he was being baptized, he opened himself up. The Bible says he was praying, even at the time that he was being baptized. The account of Luke says that, chapter 3, verse 12 to 13. And as he was praying, the Holy Spirit came and landed on him. The Holy Spirit found a place to settle. And are you praying for the Holy Spirit to come and settle on you, right? Are you? Are you praying for that? Some of you have given up. Oh, yeah, you're quite comfortable with your maintenance mode Christian life. You're quite comfortable with your autopilot Christian life. You're quite comfortable to show up on the Sunday or whenever you feel like. You're quite comfortable, but we have to be in the place that we open our heart to God so that our God will come and fill us. The Holy Spirit is not there to hurt nobody. If he's going to hurt somebody, why will he have to hurt Jesus Christ? It didn't. Why would he have to hurt the apostles? It didn't. Why hasn't it hurt me? It hasn't. And I've been a Christian for over 40 years, a little bit longer than some of you here. And yet the Holy Spirit hasn't hurt me. So why are you afraid? The reason why you're afraid is because the enemy don't want you. They don't want the dove to settle. He's happy to get you flooded so that there's no activity spiritually in you. He's happy to cover you as the mountains because you are a giant in the house of God. You are there, immovable. You are somebody who is going to do some great things. You are a nation. It's in you. And the enemy wants to flood you with everything but the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The dove is looking for somewhere to settle. And are you ready for him to settle? Not opening up to God for an encounter will prevent the dove from settling on you. When the dove came a second time with an olive leaf in its mouth, it was evident that the waters had receded from the land for his purpose to receive peace. That is verse 11 of Genesis chapter 8. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in the beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the face of the earth. Similarly, Jesus Christ said in John chapter 20, verse 21 to 22. You see, the same Jesus, when he resurrected, this is what he said. When he resurrected, Jesus said, "Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. Why didn't he leave the disciples just like that? He breathed the Holy Spirit in them. It was very important because he had to give them authority. Authority comes from the commission that Jesus Christ said, go and reach out to everybody. Start from your home. Authority comes from commission, and power comes as a result of having an encounter with God. You see, if there's a compassion in your belly, you want to reach out. You don't want to go to heaven alone. You want to reach out to the people around you. But also you want to do that in power. A lot of churches and a lot of Christians around this world, in fact, about probably 80 to 90% of us, we are happy for people to become saved. But we forget that their souls have not been saved. And therefore, they're going through so much difficulties. And because if your soul is saved, why is it that sometimes we have difficult challenges? Hello? Why is that sometimes you are emotionally messed up? Why is that sometimes you are mentally messed up? I'm talking about your soul. Why is that sometimes you don't do the right things? Jesus had to breathe the Holy Spirit upon them. And for the Spirit of God to give you power, you have to have your own experiences of encounter. Nobody can have it for you. Some of you tell me that I'm a changed person. Of course I know I'm a changed person. Because I've had an encounter with God, and each day I want an encounter with God. I mean, getting up and praying for 3 to 5 hours, I want an encounter with God. I want God to empower me. I want God to energize me. I want to make sure that when I step out there, the enemy is going to run. I want to make sure that when I had any vision or revelation, I understand. I want to make sure that if I understand it, I deal with that. Because sometimes you have to get up and shout and say, "I'm not having you in Jesus' name." How many times have I told you that we're sleeping on the bed and then some persons with our body, shadowy things, you can see it's a human being that you can't see the form of it, just coming at you. And your body feels like freezing. But if you have authority, you just get up and say, "I rebuke you to go back where you came from." Otherwise, you freeze because you are dealing with persons with our bodies. They have power. And if you think that there is no power in the dark world, the Bible calls them powers of evil rulers of this dark world. And some of you don't believe it and it's messing you about. You see, all those things that you're going through, you think is for nothing. When we come to understand this, what will flow out of us as priority in ministry is the message of the Great Commission, accompanied by the demonstration of the Spirit's power. For Jesus Christ said, I believe in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, 15, he said, behold, the kingdom of God has come. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. That means the kingdom of God is here and now. That is the kingdom of power. Bringing people to Christ, but we have to demonstrate the power, because the gospel, as Jesus Christ preached it and told us, he accompanied that. But a lot of us, because we don't want the power of God, we take only the account of Matthew. But even that, we miss the interpretation. So it's only by winning souls for God, and we are so happy. Yes, that is a good thing to do. But then deliver them. Jesus Christ did that. He spent a quarter of his ministry delivering people from the hands of the enemy. So why aren't we doing that? Hello? This has nothing to do with the Pentecostal thing. You had an Anglican vicar tell you that he speaks in tongues. Did you hear him last week? He lays his hands on the sick and they get healed. Did you hear that last week? Anglican church. And you are in a Baptist church. We pride ourselves having the best doctrine in the world, best teaching in the world. Yet, in some cases, we are powerless. But we won't be powerless here. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You see, let me pick this point and then probably I'll bring it to a close. Let us not be like the raven. Because remember that, Noah sent a raven in chapter 8, verse 6 to 7. Let me paraphrase it very quickly. He sent a raven, and the raven went and was flying to and fro, going forth, backwards and forward. Noah sent the raven. Noah, you send the raven. Hear me out. Send the raven. And the raven went to and fro. And guess what? It did that until the waters receded. No one knows what happened to the raven. If you read it, you see for yourself. The raven represents doubt, lack of faith, lack of purpose, and disobedience. Because it was sent for a purpose to go and check out what is happening. But what was he doing going to and fro? Never even returned to the ark. That's why he had to send the dove to go around. So if you sit in this church, wherever, and you are full of doubt, you lack faith, you lack purpose, and you are disobedient, then you know what? You're not doing what God called you to be. When Noah sent the raven, it was for a purpose. The raven had the advantage of flying at quick speed to accomplish its purpose and return to its perch, but kept flying backward and forward until the waters dried up. Nothing was achieved, and it fizzles out of history. God will not pour out his spirit, presence, and power on those who live in constant mistrust, constant doubt, constant disobedience, constant chaos, and can't trust God. Some of you, we hear the word of God time and time and time again, and you don't trust God. That is why you don't do it. Ezra trusted God, so the Bible said he applied it into his life. He lived it. Enoch believed God, so he did what he had to do. The reason why you hear the word of God and you don't do it because you don't trust God. You don't believe God. You want to live in disobedience, and disobedience is sin. The Bible said the soul that sin shall die. Suddenly you see that your connectedness with God is fizzling out. You don't feel God anymore. You don't feel his power anymore. You don't feel his presence and any urgency to connect with God anymore. Pick your Bible and it's like, another story. Then you put it down. I'd rather read my other book, my story that I read when I'm going to work. I'd rather read my newspaper. I'd rather read my internet. I'd rather go to my social media and look at it, simply because there's no connection in your heart towards God. Your soul is dead. Are you hearing this? Do not be like the raven. And some of you, it is okay to only serve God when you feel like you are ready, or worship God when you feel like you want to. Apostle Bill Johnson, I love the guy. He's an anointed man from Bethel Church. He's an elder man, great man, but he has experience of the word of God and is full of power. came from the Assemblies of God tradition. Has nothing to do with anything, but he has submitted to God, and God is using him powerfully. And I quote from him. He says that it is those who are overexposed to the things of God that actually build a resistance to the Holy Spirit. Overexposure is when a person hears much teaching from the Word of God but does not come to a place of total surrender to God. Shall I repeat that for you to hear it? It is those who are overexposed to the things of God that actually build a resistance to the Holy Spirit. Overexposure is when a person hears much teaching from the Word of God but doesn't come to a place of total surrender to God. Isn't that so true with the Pharisees, who were the most trained in Scripture and the things of God? But when the Messiah came, they missed him completely. They lived in their own overexposure. Most of the time, everywhere that Jesus Christ went, you see a Pharisee or a scribe. They were exposed to everything, and yet they didn't surrender to Jesus. They were fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. And I tell you what, total surrender draws us to an encounter with God that keeps us tender. Without that element, we become hardened to the very word that is supposed to transform us. Jesus is not to be tried in small portions. Today I want you, tomorrow I don't want you. He is to be surrendered to completely and wholeheartedly. Anything else will often be the opposite and will not yield the desire that we want. Are you with me? So some of you, you're trying to want God, but you're not getting it. It's out of doubt, overexposure, or sin, or disobedience, or chaos and mistrust in you. But the heavens must be rendered. This is the last verse that, passage that I'll read, and then, we'll finish that. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. I'll pick it from my Bible. Oh, it's there, is it? He said, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you." And that's when fire set twigs ablaze and caused water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. Go back to verse 1. Oh God, that you will render the heavens. Oh God, that you will render the heavens. To rend means you tear apart, you split with force or violence. When the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven, he came with fire to burn and to put his enemies to shame. You see, one preacher explained it this way. He said, when the Holy Spirit is coming, there are, like Ephesians chapter 12, chapter 6, verse 12 that we read, in the heavens, that means in the atmosphere, there are wicked spirits, principalities, powers, evil spirits of darkness, all cluttering it. And if they rule the world and they are overshadowing us, worries us. And most of us are not aware of it. And God had to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit had to pass through such force, such resistance. So it has to come with force. And it comes with the sound of heaven. And that sound of heaven is what we hear on the day of Pentecost. That sound of heaven is what we hear. And that sound produces its sound. And that is why we speak in tongues, my brothers and my sisters. Hallelujah. And it is when that sound comes and breaks those powers and come and settle and land on you, then God's peace come and rest on you. Because God is releasing overwhelming power over your life. The Holy Spirit had to come through such power, such resistance. That is why whenever John was speaking, said, "I am not worthy to baptize you, Jesus Christ. I wish you will baptize me." That's what Paul was saying. I wish you baptized me. I never got this baptism, but I know you are the one whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie, but you baptized me with Holy Spirit and fire. So the Holy Spirit that comes, the dove that settles, is fire upon people. I'm not a scientist. I know there's a scientist here, but at least I've learned from two scientists. One was a teenager. One was called Adeo. He was a nuclear scientist. And the other one, I've forgotten his name, but he's an American. He's a NASA scientist. And was explaining a cosmic shield for me. I don't know what I understood properly, but I'll tell you my understanding. He was saying that when the spaceship is coming down, it is easy. But when it's coming to break to enter the Earth atmosphere, it has to go through a shield. And that shield, the craft shakes. It produces so much heat that that's the most dangerous aspect of the flight. And at least we know one or two of the spaceships got burnt and destroyed as a result of that. And that is when they started grounding their spacecraft. It has to pass through the cosmic shield. And the Spirit of God had to pass through this. So once it passed through, then the package that the spaceship is carrying is good for science exploration here on this earth. So unless you allow the Spirit to pass through that cosmic shield of evil and persons without bodies and all sort of things that is going to destroy your life and settle on you, guess what? The packages of God will come upon you if you allow that to happen. So today, if I'm talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's for a reason, for a good reason. And therefore, for that reason, many people desire it. But some of you think, oh yeah, you talk about it. Paul said, I'd rather speak. And I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because the cosmic shield of evilness has been removed for you to have it. So this time, I'm training this church that speak tongues a lot. Let the Holy Spirit baptize you to put fire in your belly. I want to stop here. Oh God, that if you render the heavens, shall we get up right now? Hallelujah.